Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to be
Sunday, October 7th, 2018. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Thompson, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 2, brought to you by the Net Online Network. This is God for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakim Nuba.
Hey, hey, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm always good, doctor. How about yourself?
I'm doing much better. I'm home. My feet are planted. My mind is open to absorb as much knowledge as possible. And I look forward to this conversation.
Amen. Amen. It's always a blessing to have you aboard, sir.
Thank you. Same here.
Oh, yeah. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. I always like to open up the show with a word of prayer. So let us have prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for what you are doing in my life and the lives of those who believe in you. Father, it's not by accident that you have allowed us to gather together on this day. It's not by accident, Father, that you have called us, Father, out of the dirt, Father, and you have called us into your holiness of places, Father. It is not by accident, Father, that you have saved us yet one more time, Father, from death and catastrophe and accidents and pitfalls and traps. For it is your will, Father, that we would live one more day, Father, to tell this dying world about a living Savior. I thank you, Father, for trusting me enough with your word. I ask now, Father, that you will bless those all within the sound of my voice. Bless those, Father, who had a desire to listen and could not listen. And those who are listening, Father, I add a special blessing unto them. I thank you, Father, for this network, for this group of people, Father, whom you have called together to inform your people, whether it be by news, Father, talk or Christian radio, Father, whatever you have called us to do, I thank you for this group. I ask that you will bless Brother Hakim. Continue, Father, to fill him up, Father, with new ideas and new insights, Father, and blessings for this radio network. I also ask, Father, that you will bless our leader, Sister Michelle. Continue, Father, to show her your will and your way. I just thank you, Father. I thank you. Because I know, Father, that you are not done with us yet. You are not done with us yet. So use us, Father. Use us in a mighty, mighty way. Whatever you would have us to do, show us so that we can do it. Let us be a blessing to those who need a blessing. It's our duty. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, I am excited, happy, and full of joy. And I hope that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises. and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. When I say that, it's the truth. We are to lean on one another. We are to help one another. Sometimes, y'all, we have to stand in the gap for one another. What I mean by that is there are times that we have to pick up the burden for other people who may be in need. Now, I'm not saying that we are to let that person just have a smooth ride and we take on all of their problems and their issues. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when you genuinely know that somebody is in need, we are to help, we are to assist, and we are to help to carry them. Because remember, everything that we do on this earth, it is recorded by God. Everything that we do. When we want mercy from God, the first thing God asks is, have you shown mercy? When we want blessings from God, the first thing God says is, have you given out a blessing? Oh, yeah. You see, when you do for God's people, when you do for God's people, you are doing for him. And it is just that amazing that when you do right for God's people, he does right for you. I am a living witness to what happens when you do right for God's people. You see, I have learned that it is important to always do what is right. When you do what is right before God and God's people, you'd be amazed at what happens in your life. You'd be amazed at what God does for you in your life when you are in need. Because remember, just as much, like my mama always told me, the same people you meet going up that ladder will be the same people that you will want to catch you when you come crashing down that ladder. So let us remember that it is important for us to do right by God's people. Actually, and we're all God's people. Whether they know it or not, we're all God's people. And let me say this. When you encounter somebody who do not believe in God, then it is your responsibility to show them the examples of Christ, the example, the works, the teaching. What did Christ do? Now, Christ didn't argue with nobody. He didn't fight nobody. But he did, if it came down to his Father's word, he let it be known. You're not going to just come across and disrespect my Father's word and think that it's okay. So we are to be peacemakers, but also we have a sword and shield too. Now, I've learned that. Now, I don't say much to many people, but the one time that I will speak is to defend my Father's word, because I believe that that's important. It's important to me being a preacher. It's important to me being a pastor. It's important to me to defend God's word and to stand on it. So when you think about this, I wanted to tell you that today. It's important that we do this. And if we do this, we'll start seeing a change happen in this world. A change will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
And I also want to say this too, before we move on to our discussion, that allow God to move on your behalf. Too many times we say, "Oh, God is a good God. God is a God of victory. God, He never fails, God. But the second that God wants to move in your life, we stop him. The second that God wants to take you somewhere that you don't want to go, you say no. The second that God wants to pull you out of your proverbial comfort zone, you don't want to go. Allow God to move in your life. If you allow God to move in your life on your behalf, things will be a whole lot simpler, a whole lot easier. But it's up to you. It's up to you to allow God to be the head of your life. That's all he desires, is to be the head of your life. It's important that you allow God to have his way. Because when you allow God to have his way, he'll show you your friends. He'll show you your enemies. He'll show you the workers of iniquity. He'll show you the ones that have a desire to see you make it. You see, with our natural eyes, we can't see. We can only see the smiles on people's faces, and we can only hear the words that they speak. But when you allow God to go forth in your life, the Spirit of God will tell you all that you need to know. We always say, oh, I heard a little voice told me, I felt something. No, let's give the Holy Spirit his due. Something told me I should have, I heard a little voice say to go left, and I knew I should have went left, but I went right. Give the Holy Spirit his due. So when you think about it, remember that. Allow God to work. Allow God to move on your behalf. And you'll find that life can be so much easier. Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
This week, we're going to continue a subject that we started on the sister show, Shoebox Talk. We had an discussion on the Bible. And on this week, I want to continue that subject because I think it's so important that we discuss why it is important to read this Bible. But I pose another question. And is the Bible still relevant? Is this Bible that we claim is the Word of God, is it relevant? We will be having an open discussion, amen. Our phone lines are on, mics are up, amen. But Kim, do we have anybody on with us?
Yes, sir. I believe Sister Michelle is already ready to go.
Right. Amen. Amen. Hello, Sister Michelle. How you doing?
Greetings. Happy Sunday.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I got y'all loud and clear. This whole conversation is going through my whole house. So I could be anywhere in the house and be having this conversation with you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Good. Pastor, giving all honor to the pastor this evening on the show. How was church today?
Church was fantastic, let me tell you. You know, I come in the door every Sunday morning expecting God to move, and let me tell you, just today, yet again, we took in two more members. So we're up to 16 members since I started at this church, which was roughly about a month and 2 weeks. So we're up to 16 new members. God is moving. God is blessing. I tell you, we all at the church just amazed because we're like, wow, this every week. God is adding to us, and it's just a good feeling, you know?
That's a blessing. That means that's Amen. A confirmation. That's just a confirmation that you're where you're supposed to be at the right time.
Amen. Amen. And I tell you, you know, when I think about it, I love when God moves, and you know, I don't even expect God to move sometimes. I just sit back and I let God have his way. And it's a blessing, you know, when he moves and when he shows up and he shows out, because it's, like you said, it's just a reminder that, you know, when you say, Lord, am I being effective in this ministry? Am I doing what you've asked me to do? And when he moves, it's just like confirmation. Stay on the right track, boy. Don't you move to the left or to the right. Stay right in the middle and keep moving forward. And so I'm truly grateful, truly, truly grateful.
Well, that's good. I can tell. I can tell that. I can just tell you got a little pep in your little step, and in regards to your conversation and the dialogue that we've had. The shows are booming. God is good, and he moves a certain way for a certain reason, and we don't never know until the move is being done. So we're praying that your congregation grows. And everybody, you know, the right people show up and get what they need and get fed at the right time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We accept that. Truly, truly accepting. Well, you know, in this discussion on part one, we had a very interesting conversation. It was a blessing to my soul, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't sleep at all that night. I was a little riled up, and we you know, from the conversation
that
we had. Oh boy, yeah, it was something.
That's
you know,
that's
and
the spirit. That's what you're supposed to be.
That's right.
The spirit.
That's right.
It was all on the line on my show last Wednesday. I love
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen. Like I said, you know, it's the. You know, I'll defend this word until, you know, on my dying breath. You know, this is my life, and you know, this word to me is everything, and you know, and I just want to also say to people that, you know, to have your Bible is a blessing and it is a wonderful thing, and it's also important to have certain Bible handbooks. In your Bible handbooks, you will find more information. About your Bible that, you know, that your Bible don't break down. So, you know, there are words and there are different sayings and meanings that you have to understand. And sometimes you say, well, what does that mean? And you may not get a clear understanding about it. First,
right.
With your right. Bible handbook, it is important to pray for clarity of Scripture. Before
That's
you
right.
read your Bible, you always mm-hmm. ask God for clarity of Scripture. To please show you what this what the Bible is actually saying to you. Secondly,
mm-hmm.
it is important to learn what the author was saying and what was his intended meaning. When we
mm-hmm.
read the Bible, not every time that we read, oh, I knew that was, you know, no, because there are times and in places that the author might have been dealing with a certain thing, and he spoke a word. And the Bible can be translated from a literal, a figurative, a prophecy. It could be a now type of thing. It could be a yesterday type of thing. But this Bible is broken down, and it helps us. It's alive. The words in it are alive. The Bible is just a book, but the words in it are alive, and it has
yeah.
transcended the test of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's right.
Like
a book that you can read now that was written so long ago, and the things that was written in it from so long ago applies to these times that we're living in now is just that in itself to speak to your spirit. So with you saying that in regards to Bibles, you know, I have this Bible here was blessed and was given to me by Pastor Williams. It is, I asked him because I was one of those people I have my King James Version too, and I had initially started going back and forth with carrying around two Bibles. But what started happening, I've probably had this one about 3-4 years, is that I asked Pastor William, he sent this to me from Florida, got my name and brought it on it and everything. It is the Teaching Bible. It's the one, exactly the one he uses, and it does just that. It references back to the scriptures, and whenever you read anything, like half of the page breaks down what you're reading. So it reads like a book. You know, while the King James Version, I would get it, but when I really needed to had a question about it, I would read the King James Version, and then I would go to this Bible, look it up, and see what it meant. And then I winded up just started reading this Bible, and when I read it, now I go to the King James Version, it's saying the same thing, but it's just saying it different. So either way, it is the book. And this right here, I got it open. I'm ready to go to wherever you send me to. This is my teaching Bible.
Amen. Well, you know, I normally take a couple hours and do show prep and get things together and so that I can make sure that everything sounds good. But you know what, today, because we are discussing this Bible, I didn't do any show prep, and I am allowing God's Holy Spirit to speak through me. And so the only thing that I have here is my Bible handbook and my Bible. And since we are discussing this Bible and we're discussing the relevancy of this Bible, I just want to start with this. It says that the Bible is God's written revelation of his will to humanity. Its central theme is salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible's central theme, the main theme of this Bible is salvation through Jesus Christ. Even in the Old Testament, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you find that the central theme of the Old Testament was the coming of the Messiah. Everything that happened in the Old Testament happened so that the Messiah could come into existence, so that the people would know that he is truly who God had said he was and who the Scripture said he was. And we find that even in the opening pages of Genesis, you know, if you've all seen, I'll just say, in Genesis 3, chapter 15, you will hear these words. It says, "I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In the opening pages of in the opening scene of The Passion of the Christ, if any of you have seen that movie, and if you have not seen it, it is a great movie. You ought to check it out. It would open up your eyes to the life of Jesus. But in that movie, in the opening scene in that movie, you find that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying, and his spirit was in torment because he knew what he was about to do, and he knew that he had to do it. And thus, we saw that Satan was whispering in his ear, telling him that he was only a man. He did not have the ability to do what God was calling him to do, and all these things. And a serpent came out from Satan's cloak and was going towards Jesus, and Jesus stood up with all power and stomped on Satan, on that serpent's head. That there was him fulfilling the scripture that was just what I just read to you. Now, so we're talking about right after Adam and Eve sinned and ate of the fruit in Genesis. In Genesis now, we see, and God said that woman's seed would bruise the head of that serpent, which meant that he was going to stop the works of the enemy, and that was him fulfilling that scripture. So even from the beginning of Genesis, God had already started the process of his son coming into this world to remove the works of the enemy. So that's what the Bible is. It is our guide. It's our book that helps us to see that if we want to get where God is, we have to go through Jesus Christ. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the central theme of the Bible. The Bible itself contains 66 books written by 40 authors covering a period of 1,600 years. Most of the Bible was written in mostly Hebrew with short passages in Aramaic. The word Bible means book. It simply means book. The words Testament, we find that in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, pretty much are just what it is, and that word means covenant or agreement. So, is this Bible relevant? All right, yes.
That's a good question.
What do you guys think?
Why would this just go from the other end? Why wouldn't it be?
Well, most people believe that it's a book written by man, and man has flaws, and man has their own selfish ideas, and man has their own agendas, and thus, if it's a book written by man, that means it's a flawed book, and it was written to, as people say, some people say it was written to control and to keep people, you know, in fear of doing right, because they knew if they didn't do right, that if they believed in this Bible, that they would experience a hellfire. So it was a form. People say that it's a form of control. That's why they say it's not relevant. But, you know. Oh, go ahead, brother. I can.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good, sir.
I guess for those who say it's irrelevant, we have to look at the times that we're living in, high technology. This young generation, their brains are moving a whole lot faster than ours. Unfortunately, it's not making them good people. It's not making them good on a social level or a spiritual level. You know, these kids are coming out the womb consuming data at a high speed. So when you are 4 years old with a cell phone, you're 10 years old with a tablet, and you're 13 with a laptop. Spirituality and the concepts of good and evil are very, very it get lost in translation somewhere. Then on the other side of it is for those who are undecided in which direction to go, they have way more options now than they did back then. You know, there's when I was growing up, the most I had was Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on the door, and then I would walk on past the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and then I'd go on down to the Episcopalians, walk past there to get to the farmer's market. I mean, it was a handful of different divisions. And, of course, everyone has their own preferred Bible. But now, I live in Philadelphia, where Philadelphia used to be a Christian town. It is no longer a Christian town. It is a majority Muslim town now. Islam is a thriving religion, and when it comes to the young black youth, you see which direction they're going to. Attendance at church is reducing all over the country, but the attendance is up in most mosques all over the country, because for some reason young black men are identifying with Islam more than they are with Christianity. Now, I could come up with 50 reasons why, but the bottom line is these kids, these young people, and even some folks in our age range who may be confused or can't make a decision or they're having some kind of spiritual struggle, they're Googling everything. Let me Google what Christianity means. Let me Google what this means. Because there is this thirst for knowledge. And I think that's what kind of got lost in our last conversation. There is a hunger out here, a genuine hunger for knowledge. I know it because I have it. I have it every day. I've had it when I was young. But when you don't have a strong foundation, you're going to just think, if the wind blows the right way and them trees come out of the, and the roots of the trees come out of the dirt, them trees is flying, right? We got a lot of flying trees. So to them, the Bible is just this relic, this old book that they want to argue. And to the Muslim brothers, I tell them all the time, well, you do know, you know, Prophet Muhammad, he was taught the scriptures. No, he was illiterate. No, he just didn't speak the language of the people he was in, so they called him unlearned. But his teacher, who taught him how to read, taught him the scriptures. And you alluded to it a few weeks back on a prior show. The three big major religions are all connected. They're all cousins.
That's right.
They're all connected through Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just stop, pump the brakes, and stop focusing on what you don't agree on and focus on what you do agree on, we will see more interest in things. We'll see more fellowship, cross-denominations coming together. I see it here in the city, but it's so small. It's so small. You know, where I may see an imam and a pastor. I saw it today because I was at a funeral, and they just happened to come. And it was good seeing everybody talking and stuff like that, but it's not, it's just, that should be a daily process.
Absolutely.
Where everyone can discuss the scriptures and come together in a peaceful manner.
I think two things you touched on, Hakim. One being that there's a loss in a generation where we fail. I say it all the time in a number of things to teach our kids about the Bible. Regardless of the technology, our generation is the one developed, you know, that brought out technology, cell phones and so on and so forth. Regardless of that, we didn't benefit from that by teaching our kids what the Bible really, what it really meant, and letting them, forewarning them that these are the things, and it says it. I'm never a good person to refer to where it says it in the Bible, that this time would come where this generation would not believe in the things that the Lord has prophesied in this Bible. The other thing is, and this is the time, if we fail as a generation to teach our kids, my generation, my parents and grandparents taught me. And after me, after my generation, we failed. I understand what you're saying about the technology, but we should have taken that and we should have expounded on that to use it to our benefit to teach these kids. Like you said, there's another whole other show of reasons why we didn't, as a people, period, we just got a lot of issues. But
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But going back to what you just said about our generation, here's the thing that I've learned about our generation, that we were the first generation to question why.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And in the midst of this, we allow, you know, we have failed this generation, because Generation X has failed the millennials. And the reason why we have failed the millennials is because we did not get the answers to our questions. Why do we have to go to church? Why do I have to believe in this God? Why are you forcing me to go to church? And our parents saw it as a duty. You get up, you go to school, you go to church. After, between that, you do your chores. After that, you get a little money to go spend with your friends, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a part of our life. That's how I believe God set it up for us. But because of this rebellious generation, and because again, most of our parents were single parents. If you were blessed to have two parents in the house, amen. But most of us didn't. So we had that anger already. Where's my father? So in some cases, where's my mother? And again, when anger sets in, it's just a hole for Satan to get in. So all of these things that we should have been doing, and again, when the father and sometimes the mother is not present in the house, It causes division. It causes things to go astray. And then we got one parent trying to provide for the whole house, maybe not being there as much as they should because they're trying to provide. And then
well,
this child
and you know,
is sometimes
Pastor,
left.
The part about, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want to touch on the part about rebellion. That is a very
mm-hmm.
strong word because I feel like this
mm-hmm.
country, for what our black people, our black young youth are going through, I feel like the Bible is a part of them rebelling. Like, they don't want to believe in, you know, where was God at when such and such got killed? Where was God at when this happened? That's their mindset. Like, how could you, you know, that they're rebelling against their, you know, just us, our kids, period. And, you know, with the police situation and just, you know, now with the president that we have and just not feeling like, no, they don't have a voice at all. What, you know, how could you, why would you even entertain listening or even reading the, or believing the Bible? You know, especially when it's, they look at the Bible as it being like a history book. It'll look
mm-hmm.
at it, it's history. And to them, it's like,
mm-hmm.
that's old history. This is the new stuff now. And,
mm-hmm.
when you Google and you research, every time I talk with somebody about the Bible not being true, or every time I talk to somebody that said they're no longer a Christian, it's because they Googled and researched a history lesson. Back in
mm-hmm.
history, the white man developed this book to for the slaves to have something to believe in. That's history. They're not focused on what the words in the book is actually telling them. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference. They're getting it confused in regards to what history says and what the word really is. Though the
mm-hmm.
word is a part of history, it's more than that.
Yes, absolutely. Brother Kim, you were going to say?
Yeah, she just dropped a couple of big bombs. And I lost a little bit of my thought. I was trying to hold on to it. My mind was working too fast. But, you know, you got to remember that this generation has a problem with instant gratification. They want everything like microwave popcorn. They want
mm-hmm.
to get down for the Bible to work for them. They want to get on their knees, open up their Bible, ask for something, and by the time they get up on their feet, they want it to be laying on the bed for them.
That's right.
That's the way these people think. Now, there's a number of reasons why it's that, you know, it's not just rebelliousness. It's also ignorance, lack of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
Pride, because that was me. All of these things were me. So I'm speaking from experience, because I was the first one to tell you, man, get that book out my face. Now, mind you, I was raised on that book.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, he wasn't allowed to come downstairs unless you washed. You couldn't even touch the book. Couldn't touch the Bible unless you washed your body. You had to purify
mm-hmm.
yourself, bring your book down, and he'd tell you, you can either stay up there and read it and then come down and be able to talk about it, or you can read it right in front of me, then we can have breakfast. It may have been none but
mm-hmm.
a couple of chapters, but he kept us sharp with it, and he wanted it completed by the time we was a certain age. And guess what? It got done multiple times over.
Mm-hmm.
But to this next generation that came after us, you're right, Pastor. We were the first ones to question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 70s kids, we were the first ones to question because we came out of the civil rights movement. So when there was the black church being the focal point to the civil rights movement, it created inquisitive kids.
Mm-hmm.
So here we come asking questions. We're getting involved. We're doing this. We're doing that. Then here came the drugs. Here came the guns. Drugs in the 80s. More drugs in the 90s. More guns in the 90s. 2000s and the 2010s, here come the new generation of kids, these 2000 kids, or the late 90s kids, the 18 to 20-something. They're all screwed up because we were too busy combating the physical and we weren't combating the spiritual.
That's right.
See,
that's
the devil
right.
set
and
out to get
mm-hmm.
us. He set out to get
right.
us, the kids from the 70s, to destroy the kids
mm-hmm.
now. So that's why they're running around all crazy.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and all that goes right back to what I said, just a loophole. just a whole. And you know, the questioning and everything, it's okay because questions. The big part about it is, yes, it was written, and it has a lot of history, rich history. But it was not a book written by Europeans to keep
mm-hmm.
the slaves in order.
Mm-hmm.
It was not. There were scribes from the beginning of history. I said it on last week. I'll say it again. That this Bible was originally kept in order through oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
The elders of the tribes held the stories, told the stories
mm-hmm.
around the campfires to their little ones, and when Moses finally got the people together and began, and God told him what he needed to do, he went to the elders and questioned them about the creation story. Got the creation story from them, compiled it. And that's how he got the books up into his life. He got Genesis, Exodus was his life, and then Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know, by the end of it, you know, again, somebody has continued of the scripture, but this is done to keep the slaves in order. This book was written so that we would have enlightenment when we do have troubled times. And it was just a blessing that some European thought, well, we're going to give this to the slaves. And what they thought was for our bad, God turned it around for our good. Amen? So I don't see this Bible as being something that is okay, just a history and it's here 1 minute and it'll be gone the next. This book has transcended the test of time and will continue to be the number one book of all time. It will never be thrown away until God said, until that time comes, and when that time comes that we will no longer be able to read our Bibles as it's fastly approaching. But this Bible will always, the scriptures will always be in our hearts, and we will always be able to refer back. And I tell you this, and I say it all the time, I'd rather live my life believing and die and find out that there isn't, to live my life not believing and die and find out that there is. So if all else fails, I will continue to teach, preach, and believe in this word. We have lost our young people because we did not do our parts. But we still now have an opportunity to bring them back. And Brother Akim, you brought up a good a thought earlier about the Muslims and Christians, okay? Now, you know why the Muslim faith is on the boom? Because they touch the people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Christians, we don't want to go into the prisons. We're too afraid to go into prison because something crazy may jump off. But Islam, the Muslims will be right there to nurture, to guide, to protect. And they're reaching out to those people who are coming right out to prisons. We got to do background checks on them first to make sure that they're not killers and make sure that they're not undercover rapists. And that's all good, but still we push them away and keep them. We feed them with a long handle spoon until we find out that they're safe, and then we bring them in. And by that time, you know, the iman and minister blah blah blah, and took them and got them and.
Yep.
And now dress them up in a nice suit and tell them you are somebody and go out and tell somebody else about it.
Yeah.
By that
time, to your point, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, real quick. The only ones who are going in the church is the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
I mean, who are going into the prisons? Because they're looking at it as they treat it like they did missionaries in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have to remember. There are some bad actors out there. And if we get some pushback from the so-called pro-black community, there's some bad actors out there. Look at what the Mormon Church, their Bible that they had, that insinuated that we're cursed.
Mm.
You know, I don't know if you guys remember back when Mitt Romney was running for president. He was a Mormon pretty much his whole life. He had to literally backtrack all of that because people came out and said, hey, what's this about blacks? Now, I've known that from my research for almost 20 years. But it became mainstream when he ran for president. So everybody, whoa, man, I didn't know that. So next thing you know, you started seeing more and more Mormon little white kids, white shirt, black pants, with a little bag. And they came into the hood, knocking on doors. And, of course, you know what they got. Get out of my face. But I would sit and talk to them because I would engage them and send them packing because I didn't believe in that book. So are there books out there that have been manipulated by bad actors? Of course, yes. Are there imagery and manipulation? Yes. One of the biggest things I've heard growing up is they went and got this white man, pretended to be Jesus, and he hanging up on my grandmama wall. Did that happen? Sure it happened. If you don't believe me, go look up Cesar Borgia. Anybody who knows the Borgias is, you will see.
Amen. And you know, it's sad, man. It really is. It really is. And it has happened. And, you know, we all know that image of Jesus is not right. We all know that is not how Jesus looked. But, you know, and even with that, you know, we know that was manipulation. That was a manipulation trying to, you know, and now that itself was something that they tried to do and try to make it seem as if Jesus was blonde hair and blue eyes. And that is another reason why our children are lost today, because they look at that and you know, you have certain religious factions that'll say, oh, they look at what they did. That's the biggest lie right there, that they told in Christianity that Jesus was white. And you have all these black folks believing in this. And, again, it's all the work of the enemy. It's all the work of the enemy. And the enemy is trying to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And the only way that he can do that is because of us having a lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
And lack of knowledge kills.
That's right.
It kills. And we have to do better. We owe it to the... We owe it to our children's children to do better. We lost a generation, but we can still save another. And we can somehow save those that were lost. But we have to now, it's up to us to get past this barrier of belief and unbelief.
That's what the devil wants. That's what he wants us to be divided. He wants us to not believe in the word, and it's effective. It's effective because we are over here second guessing and questioning things that when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is supposed to speak to you. We're forgetting about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about God. But the Holy Spirit is in there, and He's supposed to speak to you, and you're supposed to know what you know, what you know. And just sit there and read anything and research what you want to. Researching the Bible and its validity is different than researching where you come from and why we had the Bible and where, you know, and back in those days. Now you want a history lesson. A lot of us need to go to school and learn exactly where it came from. Sitting up on Google or Bing researching stuff is not an online course in theology and understanding what stuff means. You understand what I'm saying?
But you can still get it from there. There's online courses on Google and Bing. We don't want
to. Yeah, but researching it.
It is there.
Putting something in there and then getting a couple of paragraphs about it and some pictures and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like going to school learning it online.
Amen. Yeah, and to Michelle's point, she's absolutely right. You it's one thing, and it leads to another missing piece of the black puzzle. we suffer from a lack of knowledge. We suffer from a lack of culture. Remember, we're just thrown in here, and it went from thrown in here to being integrated. So when we assimilate all these different cultures. When you stop and you take a step back and you look at what America is for what it is a pot of stuff. a lot of stuff going on. We're speaking French one minute. We're speaking High German one minute. Next minute, we're speaking Greek. When you go through the everyday word that comes out of our mouths, none of it is American. It is a clutter of stuff, a potpourri of words thrown together and adopted by this American style culture. And with that, it creates confusion. It's confusion. So that generation who's thirsty for knowledge, they're going to go look for it. And when you go look for it, you're going to pick up the wrong stuff.
Amen.
That's what happens. You know? Hey, we got a caller.
Amen. All right. Caller, welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
How are you? Praise God. This is Prophet Steven. I was invited to the line tonight. I came on a little late because I was coming from out of Manhattan, but I tapped in at this point in time, and I heard your conversation that you guys was having.
Welcome home.
And,
welcome.
God bless you. Thank you for the invite. I just wanted to say, like, when I met God, you know, Jesus Christ, I met him personally, you know, like, I didn't have, like, knowledge of God being able to talk because I was a Jehovah's Witness on both sides of my family. And so when I met him, you know, I met him personally. And I believe that, you know, a personal relationship is the greatest relationship you can ever have. I know that God can talk, you know, and he can give supernatural downloads, you know, and that's something that, you know, knowledge from a book is great and is grand, but spiritual knowledge is something that you can't pay for and something that you can't get. You know, it doesn't mean that we don't study, because I had a very excellent teacher who, you know, taught, you know, his followers to stay in the book and to, you know, pray for the Holy Spirit to give knowledge and wisdom. And when we have that strong foundation, you know, when you make disciples, then that foundation and the relationship, you know, with the Holy Spirit and with our Lord and Savior and the Heavenly Father, it can't be broken. It can't be shaken. And so, you know, I'm grateful, you know, for that relationship, you know, and knowing that nothing can separate me from his love and from and who he is, you know, because I don't believe God is white or black. I believe that he's a spirit. And I don't look at him to be, you know, a color, because he's a spirit. You know, spirits, I don't, you know, look at a, you know, a spirit that have a color. You know, I know that he's love. I know that he's healing. I know that he's deliverance. I know that he's breakthrough. And I know that because I experienced that. This is not something that someone just told me. You know, someone telling you something is one thing, but when you experience it, it's something so much greater than what you just read on the, out of the book. He's a person. You know, he's real. And
amen.
I'm glad that I was able to have that experience. I'm glad also that my pastor never taught me to worship him, but to worship Jesus, you know, worship my Savior, worship, you know, him in spirit and in truth. I'm glad I have that foundation that when the winds and different things in life blow, I can't be uprooted because I'm grounded in him, not them, or their opinion, or the things that, you know, people would say. This is a personal relationship that can't be shaken, you know.
Amen.
And so I deal with prisoners as well. I do outreach at prisons. You know, that's my heart. I deal with people that's on crack and people that's on dope. That's my heart and my passion, you know. And I'm pretty sure it's other people out here that do that. You know, I just believe that we have to get into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior. You know, that's important, not the formalities of a show, you know, or wanting to create an image for ourselves, but, you know, pin him back at the center of everything. You know, so that's, you know, something that I just wanted to share.
Amen. And we thank you. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we're just about out of time.
Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for this time. It was a wonderful discussion. We will have it again. Again, everybody, God bless you and thank you. This is Jubilee Press signing off.